The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Again another day, Daddy wants to play. Rain, rain, go away.
As the country braced itself for the tropical storm, we woke up in the morning hearing tragic news, bad news. Sitting MP Vaughn Miller had transitioned. It caught the entire nation by shock. We didn't know what to say. We give this time right now to callers to call in and give tribute if you wish. And of course, Aaron's going to say something in regards to that too.
Well, I'm going to read from the articles and share less of my own words, Mr. Newry. Cabinet Minister Vaughn Miller dies. The government has confirmed the death of Minister of Environment and Natural Resources and Golden Isles MP Vaughn Miller. Mr. Miller had recently indicated he would not seek re-election in the 2026 general election. In a statement, the government underscored his contributions, quote, inside and outside of public love for the Bahamas and his determination to improve the lives of Bahamians. Close quotes, quote, we extend our deepest condolences to his family, friends, colleagues, and constituents during this time of sorrow, close quotes. The statement read, quote, the government of the Bahamas thanks them for sharing him with our nation in service, close quotes. No further details about his death were released. Mr. Miller entered frontline politics in 2017 as the FNM candidate for Golden Isles, but later split from the party. In a statement on Sunday, Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard said he and his wife were heartbroken by Mr. Miller's passing, describing him as, quote, a man of faith, a devoted husband, and a decent family man whose love for his country was evident in his words and works, close quotes. Mr. Pintard noted many first knew Mr. Miller as a radio personality. He was fired as a parliamentary secretary in 2018 after voting against the government's VAT increase and eventually quit the FNM in 2019 after criticizing the decision to lease the town center mall to house the general post office. He announced his decision to join the PLP 8 months later in 2020. At the time, he revealed he was a cancer survivor, saying the disease had taken a financial toll but strengthened his conviction to stand by his principles. Vaughn Miller dies at 64. Miller is the second cabinet minister to die in office this term. Obi Wilchcombe, who was Minister of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting, died on September 25th, 2023. He was also 64. Miller, who was also a trade unionist and community activist, represented the Golden Isles constituency in New Providence since 2017. We were reading just now from the Nassau Guardian article. It is extensive. We will leave it there.
Okay.
So we got a number of texts coming in. And let me just start and say this. We got a text as a point of information. NAL is now open for business. Good stuff. We've got a couple of texts. One, what's the time frame for a by-election now that Brother Vaughn is gone? And so, the question is, will there be a by-election?
Yeah.
Will the Prime Minister call a general election? If there is not a by-election, how long can the Prime Minister wait before he calls an election? Right?
And unfortunately, it's 24 hours, but this is how our country is.
Pause. Mm-hmm. We're going to do two things. I want to say welcome to Mr. Yuri Kemp, Guardian business reporter. He's joined us for the conversation. But also, okay, it has been it hasn't been, it's been 24 hours full now, right?
But I know how we are. We are a very political country.
But I don't think we should cast an aspersion in this instance.
Go ahead.
No, we're not going to cast an aspersion.
What do you mean?
What I mean is, there's nothing wrong with asking these questions.
Mm.
The country must continue.
Mm.
Governance must continue, and it must continue the right way.
So do you think it's proper now for the government, I mean the prime minister basically, because he's the member of the prime minister's cabinet, et cetera, to respond now and give details on what will happen? Or do you give them a grace period? Mind
what
you,
grace? Whose grace?
Mind you, like I said,
how long it take to cook a can of grace corned beef? That's how much time they have.
Mind you, I understand how we're political. And Lord,
no, it's not political. This is not political.
You say it's governance, you
think? This is governance.
Yeah.
Okay, see, this is a question about the closing of the bank. What you mean commerce continues? What you mean you close? Because here's what the part of the thing is. The big people money, the big people money will continue to move. There's nothing stopping that from moving. In fact, in the statement, they indicated certain services are not going to be shut down, right? Like there's the money transfer and some internally things. They're not going to shut down. We have Eurecamp here who could add more information to that, right? But the point I was making is, like banking, these are essential services. They do not shut down. And don't say you're going to be doing things. But you tell me you're not going to talk to me about them out of respect for the dead cabinet minister? That's madness.
So when does the campaign start? Because some people already started campaigning.
Well, the campaign, the full campaign done start a long time. And if it is true that he was preparing to leave politics, then the people in that specific seat have been campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing disrespectful about these conversations.
So let's bring in Yuri Kemp right now, our guidance staff reporter here.
Yes.
In terms of the politics of a death of a sitting MP, a sitting minister, what happens then?
Let me read. This is what I'm getting from the Parliamentary Act. It says that it's up to when a member dies in office, it must come to the attention of the Speaker of the House. The Speaker's duty is to report the matter to the Governor General, and then from the Governor General, he or she issues a writ of an election in that constituency. It must be within a minimum of 21 days from the date of the notice to her and 30 days. It must be within 21 days and 30 days they must call a by-election. So unless the Prime Minister is going to call a general election in the next, 2 or 3 weeks, it has to go to a by-election. I don't think he's going to call a general election right now.
Why not? That just came out of my mouth.
Okay, because he has another year to go before he has to officially call for an election.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of time, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So I think he's going to call for by-election. But he has to call for by-election. That's what happens when a member of parliament dies.
Let's walk through it, right? You said that the Speaker of the House needs to be officially notified. What does that mean?
They have to go to parliament, and they have to present it to the Speaker of the House, who then presents that to the Governor General, who then issues a writ for a by-election.
So a death certificate.
So that takes time.
Yeah, it takes time. So they have to meet in Parliament. I think the leader of government business has to notify the Speaker, and then the Speaker has to then notify the Governor General, who issues a writ of an election.
Now, I'm going to stick a pin here. You know, often political critics will say, hey, we're tired of politicians being prioritized over ordinary citizens, right?
Mm.
But this is one instance where you're going to prioritize this process, right? For the continuity of governance, right? You can't leave him at the back of the line. You have to get this done as quickly as possible.
It has to be done within the next 30 days.
So that's what I was going to ask now. You mentioned 21 to 30 days. Is it 21 to 30 days after the Governor General has been notified, or 21 to 30 days after the death?
After the Governor General's been notified. So after the Governor General's been notified and they issue a writ, it has to be within 30 days after that.
Yeah.
And follow me here. I'm not sure when's the next sitting of the House Assembly.
I think they meet October 8th.
So now, see where you're going with the date now, right? So on October 8th, let's use that date for now. Whoever in the Parliament makes a statement to the Speaker of the House on October 8th. And the process then starts.
That process then starts.
So it doesn't start from now.
No, it starts when they notify the Speaker of the House.
But here's the thing. Surely you're going to return to the House sooner than you had intended. Surely this is an incident. I'm not to the law, but I'm saying surely this is an incident that would prompt you to return to the House as quickly as possible, right? And so I'm saying any MPs that are attending their family islands because they're dealing with this response, you're going to take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. How much time can you reasonably give them mm-hmm. before they must come back to New Providence for this process, right?
Mm-hmm. Is the hope or anything?
I think that's on a regular break. And they back on October 8th.
All right.
Supposedly, so they said.
Yeah, because they know summer break. Sorry. If I was a teacher, there ain't no summer break for them. Mm. Y'all need summer school. Okay. It's okay.
So let's follow it, the process again. Mm-hmm. And the announcement of a by-election, if there's going to be one, mm-hmm. it's going to be done by whom?
It's going to be done by the Governor General. She's going to issue a writ of an election for a by-election after she's been notified by the Speaker of the House.
Okay.
The same process was followed when Obi Wilson passed away. Mm-hmm. The same process, but in 30 days.
Okay. And the exact date is set by the Prime Minister?
No, it's set by the Governor General.
Okay. So she said, well, it's 30 days, it could be this particular day.
Yeah, it's going to be this. This is what's mm-hmm. going to happen.
It was really determined by procedure, but then she makes the announcement of what it is.
Okay.
All right. I had text here that says the government has 90 days to call an election for Golden Isles. With text, I think we're reading from the law itself, and it's 21 to 30 days. So don't slunk. Mm-hmm. Don't slunk. Okay, and then we have to ask, hopefully we will hear a word from the Parliamentary Registration Department,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we know that now we have a fixed register, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that if you had registered before, you are registered now. However, locations within the prescribed amount of time, then you need to register again. You need to register in your new location, or if you are a new voter and you're going in to vote for the first time, you need to go in and register, right? So how will this impact? I'd like to hear a public statement from the Parliamentary Registration Department. Specific instructions for people who live in that constituency or recently moved to that constituency, outlining what the protocol and the procedures are, what the rules are, and then highlighting examples for people. So you say, wait, that's the situation I'm in. Let me call the registration, the PRD, and confirm that this is the procedure I should follow.
Now, getting political and moving to the Grand Bahama West End situation when the Honorable Obi Wilchcombe transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
There were several persons vying for that nomination. General election just happened. No one really anticipated any sudden death, right? But this time, mm-hmm. general election was already looming,
mm-hmm.
right? The people were already vying to get that position, right? The politics of these things, right? How will this impact the economy in terms of spending?
I don't know.
In terms of the campaigning? I know usually, right, the government does not start the campaign until after the funeral.
Mm.
Like, no one on the ground, at least, not obviously. Mm. You still be going, whatever, how you're doing.
Yeah.
But nobody's on the ground or doing outside work, whatever.
But does that sentiment change given that he had already given indications that he wasn't running again, right? Because we say it's out of respect for him and his family mm-hmm. that we're not going to just start politicking right away for that seat. But if he had already indicated he was not going to run again, right, why disrupt the activities taking place?
Well, first of all, I got to say condolences to his family. I met some of his family members yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they're pretty shocked by it and how he was found. So I just want to say my condolences to the Miller family.
Yeah.
And to the politics of it, this all depends on what the Prime Minister and what the Leader of the Opposition wants to do. You know, if they want to make it into a big hullabaloo, then fine. Then they can do that.
Let's go by history now. I am almost certain, right? Mm-hmm. There's a time when the opposition and the government, right, the leading party in parliament, they agreed, had a gentleman's agreement to say that we're not going to have a by-election, but we're going to have a general election instead, which is going to be a couple of days or months after the by-election due date. Mm. Is that possible?
And they're well within their rights to do that if they want to. I mean, if they want to, that's fine. The parliament is made up of gentlemen and gentleladies and gentlewomen, so I think they could come to some reasonable agreement on when they can have a by-election and a general election. They're all animals, you know.
You're right. I mean, you're wrong to the extent we're all animals, but you're right. You're right. My concern, like you say, is about money, right? Mm-hmm. You have a by-election within 30 days. Let's say we have it within 30 days, yeah. Right? And then how much time will those candidates need to be able to enough resources to go into the general election? Mm. Right? It is an unfortunate circumstance. It is a tragedy, right? But it presents an opportunity for the governing administration to pull a fast one on the opposition, take advantage of the perceived, what's the word I'm looking for when you're not prepared? Perceived lack of preparation or preparedness for a general election. Take advantage of it and just call a general election one time. Now I could see people saying, now that's disrespectful to the memory and legacy of Vaughn Miller, right? Mm-hmm. To use his death as an opportunity to capitalize politically, that's a problem for me. Mm-hmm. But governance and politics must go on, and that is not an insult. You know, it does not degrade his legacy.
Mm. Yeah. Mm, okay, that's fine.
I mean, I know most people would disagree. They say, man, just hold it off. Just hold it off. Give it some time. But I think we are at a point where we're out of time.
Mm, wow.
In terms of governance and maintaining the momentum necessary to move at the pace of regional development, one of our biggest problems is a lack of sense of time, right? Mm. And I know that this loss of time due to the storm has business people concerned.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so let's take this call, and then after the call, let's talk about the potential impact. Are business people already talking about impact? Are they lobbying for specific changes because of, you know, what they've assessed during this particular dispensation? Okay. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, guys. How are you on this morning?
Good, thank you.
I have a question and also a concern.
Mm-hmm.
How would this by-election take place when Golden Isles is the last in the Bahamas at this time? With over right now, I know before the last general election, it was over 7,000 plus voters because I worked the polls. Now it's over 8,000 plus. When the government is looking to have a boundary shift, how would that take place?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess you have to leave it up to, I think it's the Honorable Wayne Monroe. He's the...
responsible.
He's responsible. And then the Prime Minister. You have to leave it up to them because I think they have an idea how they want to cut the boundaries if they're going to do it before the general election and this by-election. So, but I think for the by-election, they have to go with the established boundaries that were set in the last elections. They can't, you know, change the boundaries up for the by-election.
The problem I see with that, the entire Southwest region has grown. Okay, and it'll be a definite person that moved to the Southwest region compared with the other constituency. So I think, and my advice to the government would be, I'll wait and take it into a general election if I can get the opposition to agree along with me.
I don't think the law allows for that, though, son. I think the law, you have to have a by-election. Once a member of parliament vacates a seat...
But the circumstances will permit something like that if the opposition leader and the prime and the government party, along with the governor general, agrees on it, it could happen. Thank you.
I mean, it could happen, but then do you want to take that risk with something so important? It could happen, but then it's also open to legal challenge, right?
Yeah.
And on the face of it, right, as Mr. Kemp pointed out, it is a position or a timing determined by law. Right. And so you don't want to run the risk of challenges coming in and going to the court and say, hey, this can't stand. They went well outside of the scope of what the Constitution allows. Right. And so I appreciate the point that you make in, caller, but it does get far more complicated than it looks on the surface. Another caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to each of you in the studio, Fallon Johnson.
Morning.
I just thought for the caller now, the Constitution is not optional. The rules is the law exists. There is no boundaries except what is there. And for those who have moved.
There we go. I'm not sure if you guys can still hear us. We lost our caller, but we're going to keep talking. So that's another thing that I thought about, Mr. Kemp, right? The implications about the Boundaries Commission discussion, right? Mm-hmm. They're not done. Mm-hmm. They haven't met the timelines. The deputy leader of the opposition indicated that they're still waiting on basic things and lists, mm-hmm. right? What happens? Like, just a hypothetical situation. We follow the law. The by-election is held within 21 to 30 days from the moment the declaration is made and it's presented to the Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. We have a by-election. We have a winner. Mm-hmm. And then we have a boundaries report mm-hmm. that indicates that that specific constituency is going to be split into two. Have we ever had an example? We have never had an example of that happening, right?
I have never heard of that before.
Now, I get all kinds of questions, but I know we want to get back to the sort of business side of it. You're back, Mr. Allen. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Yeah, sure, sir. What I'm saying is that you have 60 days to bring a return for that constituency, or you have 4 months to call a general election. So the Prime Minister has the choice on the table. If he's not going to call a general election, the returns will come within 4 months. Then we'll be looking at a by-election 60 days from the notification of the Speaker.
Okay.
The Constitution is supreme.
Yep.
No matter how we feel. The procedures in between doesn't matter to me.
Absolutely. Okay. I didn't know it then, but now I know that's what Corinne Mitchell means when she said, my middle name is Constitution. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Well, it is Dr. Weiss along with you and you, Aaron.
Blessings. How you doing?
I'm always, thank God,
good.
For improvement. But what do I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to give my condolences to the family of Vaughn Miller.
Yes.
He was a good friend of mine. I use the word well because he still is, even though he had deceased.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good friend. If you ever get to meet him,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you get down to one-on-one with him,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that that's just him, you know, being a decent young man.
Mm-hmm.
He was to me.
I got you.
I wouldn't believe that got away from me. Carlis, I'm going to call you back.
That's okay, because I think you said the most important thing, Bremen. What you said was lovely. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
C-A-N-U-E. I'm glad Critical Thinker bring that up because Sad Nurse News last night was saying 60 days.
Mm.
But we could have a repeat of history. We could go back to 1968.
Okay.
Then Peter Pumpkin Eater Moxie, Daddy died, the late Uriah Moxie. And Sir Lyndon say, no, I'm going for the whole hog. I ain't going for no by-election. So it's so close. We don't know what Prime Minister Davis might have up his sleeve because the money would cost the country and the time and the via card, the via the critical cards and all these things and all this. So you might know, you might feel like medicine, just, you know, go with an early election.
Just
so
snap it.
Sign that out on the table.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right.
And I'm sure Cabinet will have to discuss this, right? Because election fever consumes the entire nation.
That's dengue fever.
Yeah, and I can see a by-election causes us go into a general election fever where everything is political. I'm talking, right? Mm-hmm. And $1 million, $2 million, $3 million being spent, which could have been used, hopefully, for other things, right? That's like taking away money.
Housing,
yeah,
desks,
taking away money
at schools.
From the economy. For a by-election.
Hardship pay, rent, first, last, and security on family islands for teachers.
And bloggers got to get paid.
I mean, there's that as well. Y'all better learn how to make an app lemonade.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead. Oh, the caller, hang on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that caller. Okay, Mr. Newry. I wanted to ask Mr. Kemp, let's focus on the impact of the, not just the storm itself, but the procedures surrounding the storm on local businesses. Has anybody started saying anything? And have they suggested anything, recommendations to make these moments, pre-storm, during storm, immediately post-storm, more coherent and bring more clarity at a national level and a community level? Because business requires continuity, coherence, and clarity.
I've been speaking to building supplies and hurricane supply stores all day today, this morning. And they've been saying that everyone's taken a different approach from when they've learned their lesson from Dorian. Like before, like pre-Dorian, everyone was like, oh, it's a hurricane, blah, blah, blah. But now this year, everyone is just taking their hurricane preparation very, very seriously. And they've been to those hurricane supply stores and those building supply stores very, very early. And even now, post-storm, they're saying that people are still coming in and getting tarps and getting sandbags and things. Bahamas are taking their storm preparation very, very seriously this year because of Dorian in 2019. Yeah. And now they're just trying to do the cleanup and they're trying to take all the debris out of the yard. They're trying to make sure no water comes into their house, trying to make sure everything's covered that wasn't covered beforehand. Mm-hmm. And so Bahamas have taken a different approach this year. Listen, thanks to Dorian. Well, not thanks to Dorian, but...
I know an engineer named Judson Wilmot. Right? He's my cousin from Andres, you know, family island cousin. Senior man to me. I have been trying to goosey him and Mr. Farquharson, who works with labor and the government. We need a program called Hurricane Helpers.
Mm.
Right? Like a temporary work program to provide economic agency to young men and young women and underemployed people and unemployed people. Right, but we just have to figure out how to operationalize it. So many people could have used four more hands in the yard helping them prep for the storm. So many people could use six more hands in the yard right now helping them get the yards back in order, figuring out what's the best way to get the standing water out of my yard, right? Then somebody said, look here, next year we build in a tunnel, a moat around the house, small, 2 inches. To capture some water before it spills over, right? Like, can we solve problems at the same time? Temporary work program, build economic agency in collaboration with the National Youth Guard, right? And constituency offices. Let's call it Hurricane Helpers. Pre-storm and post-storm services for vulnerable people and then for people who could afford it. And then you all help subsidize the people who can't afford it.
No, right after, we have more phone call. A prepter called for me there, Kermit. After the microburst in that eastern area, there's a number of houses who got damaged, right? There are people who are fixing roofs. Just recently, even the MP for Fox Hill mentioned that he has a program fixing a minimal amount of roofing for community members. And he's given no tarp, like how a number of places are given no tarp, right? But I'm not sure, again, I mean, you may know, like, where that money coming from?
I have no idea.
That's a big new deal. Well, is it the constituency money?
Well, I imagine maybe some of it is, but I'm sure that the constituency teams and MP have built relationships with business owners, right? So there's going to be a look. We could give you maybe 50% off on all the tops, or we could give you 100 free tops, and then you have to pay for the rest of the tops, right? But I think that's the question. Is money put aside in a constituency budget for resources like this? Remember, there was a question of whether it was the Minister of Energy and Transport or the MP for Elizabeth Estates that was speaking to constituents when she said, I am organizing something to get resources to you, right? But is it a national level, C-level program?
See, and this is one of the things that really sticks me, right? Because everything has to always rely on your member of parliament or your government minister. Why can't Bahamas just organize between themselves? And I can tell you why they don't organize, because they don't have the support, they don't have the resources to do it themselves. So we always have to keep going back to these members of parliament, these politicians. And to be honest with you, it's always a boondoggle when you go back to them. You always get half the help, and you always get them at the front of the ticket, you know, promoting themselves, and then people still don't get the help. We need to find a way to organize between ourselves and the businesses within our communities to do this for ourselves.
And in that way, listen, in that way, we're actually protecting you, MP, right? Mm-hmm. We're protecting you from the question, oh, you was helping them because you know them, you was helping them because you like them and you didn't help me. Take all of that out of the equation. Exactly. A different structure, a different protocol protects the MP as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the caller there.
Sorry,
go ahead, Kermit. Guardian Radio AM, you're live, caller.
Yes, good morning. CA, good morning. Aaron, good morning, Mr. Camp. Good
morning.
Hope you're doing well, that you rode out the storm.
Thank you, sir.
And my condolences also to the family of the late Warren Miller.
Cousin, let me just...
Cousin.
I want to ask you, let's just take a moment. Let's also say condolences to the family of Frank Carter, you know, the Carter family and the broader HHT family. I want to say condolences to Reinhard Pearson on the passing of his wife. Condolences to the family of Keith McSweeney, funeral director at Restview Memorial Mortuary, And condolences to the family of Matthew Allen, preacher, Bahamian in the diaspora, and political advocate. Thank you, cousin.
He died as well, Matthew Allen.
Yes, he died very recently.
Wow, wow, so many deaths. But Aaron, to your previous suggestion, you know that the government has established a sort of a youth program, and they've recruited young men in the disaster recovery unit to do, I think, a lot of what you have suggested.
Yes,
so
sir.
They have a particular, I forget the name of the program.
National Youth Guard.
Right, yeah, yes. Right. Whose responsibility is to assist in time of
natural
disasters and stuff like that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Right, working with a program working with the National Youth Guard will give those, like the part-time employees, would give them access to a space with structure, right? And the things that they will learn working in conjunction with those teams. Mr. Kempers, one more.
Aaron, a call back.
Okay.
Members of Parliament they get a lot of perks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when one would just jump up and quit the job or some of that sort or died, like half, one half died, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the finance what were pointed to them while they were working?
Mm. Well, all I could say is we...
It's our money.
I know. And I ain't trying to say nothing shady either. I'm just saying we hope that that we can rely on the state mechanisms to follow the procedures. I don't think there's a question that, you know, I don't think there's anything for us to be concerned about, right?
Well, I would think so because it must to do with his family, right? But still, it's our money.
Okay, I appreciate what you're saying. But you want the family to know that, you know, it's a sharp question, but it's an important question because it's the people's money. I get that, Brayman. What I'm saying to you is we're not taking it lightly. I think that we could rely on the integrity of the ministry and understand that, you know, absent the ministry can continue functioning, right? And so we can ask for a report. We say, hey, look, give us a report right now before you move on. And that's not unreasonable. But no, man, the integrity of the ministry is such that we could trust that. Here's a text. Please note that the absolute deadline for this term is January 4th, 2027. The term will dissolve automatically on October 6th, 5 years after its initial sitting, unless the Prime Minister announces a specific date before then. Following this auto dissolution, the Governor General must issue a writ that is returnable within 90 days, which would also be due by January 4th, 2027. If the PM issues a date, then it's 90 days after. However, it can't be less than 21 days. Texter, I'm going to save that text. I got to read it. Make sure I understand exactly what you were saying. Thank you for sharing that. Is another one. The Constitution allows within 60 days to issue the writ for by-election. When the writ is issued, the election must take place within 21 to 30 days. 60 days? That's okay. We're not waiting that long. I'm just saying, they can't. They won't go on vacation. They ain't going to wait that long.
60 days will end up when? January or December?
No. So let's say we're at the end of September. It'd be October, November, the beginning of December, or the end of November, beginning of December.
Okay. By election in Christmas time? Oh, that's a lot of things to consider.
That's a lot of Christmas money for the bloggers, eh?
Yeah. I love Christmas. See, Larry is a good guy, though.
Here's my hope. My hope is that practical, like pragmatic considerations are prioritized over political agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when this decision made, it's not made based on what's best for my political party. but made on what's best for the country, the continuity of governance, and the preservation of the safety and integrity of the future. That's it. That's all. Okay. Put the political interest
aside.
We're
going to take this quick break. We have one caller who's waiting to participate. This is Guardian Radio AM, and we have Yuri Kemp, the reporter here with us for The Guardian. We appreciate when you come on and give us some insight on, on things. So we'll be right back.
Are you searching for something new? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We go straight to the phone line. So we're talking about some banking. I mean, they closed the banks, man. I mean, thank God for online banking, because I wouldn't have no type of money today. But let's go to this caller.
How you pull out cash online?
No, I transfer people.
Oh.
Just transfer it. Say, hold on, what's your number? And it's transferred.
Okay.
Only Scotia one.
How long it take me to get my money if you transfer it to me?
Well, it depends if your bank is the same bank as mine.
Ah.
You get it right then.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, online banking, sir.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. With the online banking, also persons are using your card without permission. So once you can get a chance to check your history. Because I just did some transaction, and on the 16th of September, I noticed coffee was made. I don't use coffee, and an Amsterdam charge was also made, and I was never in the Netherlands, not since 94.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be able to check up on our stuff. And I just stepped in the house after surveying the land of the new Pine Road, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
because almost the entire Nassau is new Pine Wood.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed a lot of the streets in the middle of the streets are flooded from street to street, 24 inches of water. So I didn't drive, I used my water boot.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Gambia Heights, and Gambia Heights is now Gambia Low, because there are certain parts high and certain parts low.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman who lived there from the very inception told me someone went by there, and they got some quarry, said that he was building a triplex. Only to find out the man never even owned the property, he was just stealing the quarry to sell.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things that we need, inspection and surveillance of persons being selfish and not taking care of being their good neighbor's keeper. I wanted to congratulate the government initially on the situation near to Carlton Francis, where that road used to be flooded. And they raised the road, so it's not flooded that much. But with this particular unusual downpour, the road was flooded from Blue Hill right into the school and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the water is receding gradually. a lot of set space and things not working. So there's a lot of things, and I think we may need to have another day or two before we get back to normal.
Yes, sir. You know what I found interesting? I imagined that if we capture all of the water that fell over the last month and a half, from the start of this sort of rainy period, including what has fallen during Imelda, I bet you we would have had enough water to take care of our agricultural and water needs in the first half of the year where we experienced almost extreme drought, right? And so the question is, are we thinking about how these problems could actually be beneficial to us, right? And with the right strategy and technology, we can be creating solutions out of crisis, right? Because the earlier part of this year, almost all the trees in my yard burned up. And now I tell them, I say, look here, soak it up and enjoy it because a drought could come again. Soak it up and enjoy it. And, you know, is it time for us to have water catchment systems and filtration systems on our homes? Are we being blessed, but we only see it as a curse because we're not prepared to harness the blessings? And so let's go back to businesses. Typically, Mr. Kemp, in terms of loss, post-storm loss, what do businesses typically express, and what are the largest issues for them in terms of getting business open again?
The main issue is always power and electricity and communications. If you can't communicate with your customers or your clients that are calling in, then you really can't have any business. And also with regard to power, I know sometimes during the hurricanes, well, in the Bahamas, almost all times during the hurricane, power goes off. And so if you can't power up your business, you know, you can't cut the electricity on, and you can't really serve any customers. So those are the two foremost things that businesses look out for when they try to restart from a storm like this. And so it's incumbent upon BPL and BTC and Cable Bahamas to get the communications and the power back on to some of these businesses because they just can't function. And the second thing, well, the third thing is also making sure that the flooding in front of their doors isn't so burdensome to customers coming in, you know?
And then also doesn't create a safety hazard, right? So you, one is it deters them from coming. But the second is, it is a risk you're going to fall and injure yourself trying to traverse these waters.
Yes, especially with all the potholes that are popping up now. There are potholes and strategic corners everywhere, all throughout this island. You turn through one corner and you could be, you know, in somewhere halfway to China. When you fall into these potholes.
And you saw, y'all saw the signage on the triangle as you leave East Bay Street going on to the Eastern Road. It said, watch out, this place got more craters than Gaza, right? And listen, we're not trivializing what's happening in Gaza. I want you all to know I have the list of all of the countries that walked out as Netanyahu was preparing to speak at the UN most recently. We're not trivializing what's happening down there, but the potholes on the Eastern Road are something else. The potholes on Johnson Road, where it was before, guarantee it's a good pothole. It could be right there again. But these set on the Eastern Road, they are actually 1 foot deep.
And even in the inner cities, man, I was traveling down Blue Hill Road 3 days ago. It was in the evening, like 6 p.m. in the evening, and there was a car that sped around, come straight past us, and then he hit a pothole, and then a tire burst, and he almost swerved out of control. And so it was like a serious situation. It was a white Dodge Charger, and he nearly spun out of control. His tire burst right in that hole. He didn't realize that there was a hole right in the middle of Blue Hill Road.
This is why.
Just talk about Bay Street and storms, because we have yet to fix the flooding on Bay Street.
Oh, you thought they were going
to... Yeah, I thought something. And now you see that the fish fry is now impacted where you cannot get to any of the restaurants.
Yes. It's a good thing you mentioned the fish fry, Arawaki. And I think the president of the Fish Fry Vendors Association, Mr. Rodney Russell, has always been adamant that, you know, the flooding, especially on the eastern part of Fish Fry, going towards Junkanoo Beach.
Long Wharf heading towards Junkanoo
Beach. Right, that place always floods. And now it's also coming over into the main Fish Fry now, where those businesses can't get customers to come into their stores because the flooding is just so severe. And so now you have, you know, vendors building on the eastern side of Fish Fry. Now you have the flooding going into...
I just say to you all, your prices was already too severe. You don't need any more struggles or deterrence. Thank you. I mean, also to Mr. Rodney Russell, I say God bless you. God bless you, because I don't know why them people put two and three story building on the sand. All our life in primary school to Sunday school, we did the story about the man who built a house on the sand and the man who built a house on the rock. What y'all doing?
No, that's not his fault because...
No, but I'm saying God bless him because he has this awesome task of having to wrangle these people into play. Now, when I say that, here's what I mean, right? Fish Fry started as an alternate space. And the vendors there treated like an alternate space, right? And then some people still treated like, although some people have legitimized, they've become proper businesses, many people still coming into the space because they see it as an alternate space where they could do whatever they want. Mm. And Mr. Russell has this awesome task of balancing the culture that the people come to. It's nice, it's loose, it's relaxed, but with the need for narrowness, for rigidness, for tightness, for paying attention to the protocols. Because God forbid somebody is in a two-story or a three-story structure out there and it collapses due to weather conditions that we already knew about.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed, you know, it could potentially be a massive problem. And man, Mr. Russell, managing Bayman's, I know them long time. Them people is mine. Oh, boy.
Yeah, man.
So the potholes, Bay Street. Remember when the people say, no, they finished paving Bay Street? And we say, no, if they were finished paving Bay Street, they would put lines in the road. And I just want to show you all something, though, about this doing things properly. They're required to fix it and put the lines in the road, even if they know that they're going to get mashed up again because of the development. That doesn't matter. What matters is driver safety. The lines need to be in the road because some of these Bahamians pretend like they could be bad people when they're not in church. They know where the line is supposed to be in the road, but they pretend because they don't see it. They don't have to follow it. Right? We need these lines in the road. Because when I go to the magistrate and I say to the magistrate, the person was in my lane, and they say, it wasn't no line in the road, I'm not allowed to slap them in the court. And neither is the magistrate. Just put the lines in the road. Fix them. That's your obligation, whether you're going to get mashed up in the next 4 months or not. Why aren't you making the companies that are coming here to make billions of dollars over hundreds of years, why aren't you making them contribute to these costs? Something has to give. It's not supposed to be my insurance. It's not supposed to be my back. Something is supposed to give, and it's on your side of the equation. That's another thing, right, that businesses, can somebody get to my business because of the extreme flooding?
Mm. That's the main issue.
Right, and is there a timeline? Is anybody from the Ministry of Works providing timelines or making commitments to having roads and flooding cleared? Why aren't we, all this Japanese import, why don't we have a cooperative that's bringing in bucket trucks and water pump trucks and the type of commercial equipment that we need to provide services to Bahamians.
Hmm.
Refrigerated trucks, bucket trucks and cranes, and small bucket cranes, right? What's happening? But yeah, it's like somebody's supposed to be in charge, but they're only in charge when they're telling us what we supposed to do. They're not in charge when the liability or the responsibility is on them. You must figure that out for yourself. No, man, Mr. Newry, come on. Let's read some more texts before we go. We got 1 minute left. It says, Vaughn, but I imagine you mean the ministry, would not get another payment until October 1st. They get funds every quarter. The monies... The ministry got to run from July 1st to September 30th, so we would be looking for what he didn't spend and would have spent for the last 5 days of the month. And then the text says, note, within 60 days, not after 60 days. So that realigns with what it is you said, Mr. Kemp. Man, Mr. Kemp, I thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
We all appreciate when you're here, Yuri Kemp. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll continue these conversations as the week progresses. I know we do have a number of guests coming in.
Yeah, but we have to talk about that story, man. The one where the boy used the drone to try drop the... Listen, I can need to take you all to some common sense classes, man.
That was just
doing foolishness.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
From now, we say we can use drones for... Yeah, I didn't even know that could be used to be done.
For identifying who need a good cut behind?
Yeah.
Since you all love corporal punishment too much? No. Oh, you didn't?
You didn't know. This has been Gadi and Radio here for CNR. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Thank you very much, Yuri Camp. Let me just inform Yuri of all the gossip on social media. We'll see you tomorrow.
He's a decent man.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.